All right, now in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 21 through 48, we saw how that the Lord Jesus Christ was warning His disciples about the corrupt doctrines of men, corrupt doctrines of religious men. They thought that sin only went as far as the flesh, that it had nothing to do with the heart. The corrupt men didn't know sin has to do with the heart. And now in this sixth chapter, the Lord turns His disciples from the corrupt practices of religion. He's teaching us that our worship of God, our devotion of God, is to be a heart matter between us and God. It's not to be a matter of that we perform to be seen of men. That's not the reason that the believer worships God. He uses three examples in this sixth chapter. He uses alms, prayer, and fasting. Now last week we looked at alms, and this week we're going to begin looking at prayer. Just take these first two verses. And remember now as we look at this, the same principle is applied in all three examples. The believer does what he does in his practice, not to be seen of men, but knowing that God who sees in secret knows the heart. He sees the heart. The heart's what matters in our worship. Now, start with Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now let's take verse 5. He begins here, first of all, the Lord says, when thou prayest. Now, He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to those who've been born of the Spirit of God. And He doesn't say pray. He says, when thou prayest. It's a given that the believer prays. The believer lives in prayer. He's constantly, continually cast upon the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives in prayer. And we stand in amazement that we have access and approach to God Almighty. That's a very real, very serious, very dear privilege to a believer. And the reason it is because of how we got this access. In order to enter into God's presence, even into His presence in prayer, a person has to be holy. They have to be righteous to enter into God's presence. Their sin has to be put away, and they have to be cleansed. It has to be perfect to come before God. Therefore, we have to come to God in Christ Jesus, our great high priest. There's no other way for any sinner to come to God but in Christ Jesus. Now, look over with me at Hebrews chapter 10. These are some things we saw when we were in this study in Hebrews 10, but I want to recover this. It applies here. Because God's elect were unrighteous because of the sin of our first representative Adam, those sins had to be put away by our second representative and surety, Christ Jesus the Lord, God's own Son. In verse 26, look at Hebrews 9, verse 26. It says here at the second half of that verse, it says, now once in the end of the world hath the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. That's how the believer's sin was put away, by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And then it says in verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And look over at Hebrews 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the body of Jesus Christ once by His one offering. We see how our sins are put away, and we see that we're sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. He sanctified them forever. And then the blood of Christ is applied to us by the Holy Ghost. You remember, we saw this in Hebrews 9, but Moses, when he joined that covenant to Israel, he went in and he sprinkled everything with blood. It had to be sprinkled with blood in order to be purged, in order to be cleansed and be washed. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin, and that blood has to be applied. We saw in Hebrews 9, it said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who offered Himself through the eternal Spirit, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then we see here that He witnesses to us. Look down at verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The Lord speaks to the soul of the believer, and He says, your sins and iniquities I will not remember. And where remission of your sins is, there is no more offering for sin. There's nothing for you to offer for sin. Nothing. And so then verse 19, this is our boldness. This is our confidence. This is wherein we're given the assurance. It's through the body of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who offered Himself through the Holy Spirit bearing witness in the inner man of the believer. Now we have assurance. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, not that old priestly way, not the way of the law, not the way of the covenant, the old covenant, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us. He hath newly made this way for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And we have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, not a hypocritical heart, a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is why prayer is such a valuable, cherished privilege for a believer. It's because how we got this access to the Father. It's through our Redeemer. It's through our High Priest. It's through the Comforter coming to us and applying this blood in our hearts. And so we can come into His presence. And so He says, when thou prayest, in verse 5, Matthew 6, 5, when thou prayest, because you are sprinkled, because you are purged in the conscience, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite. First of all, you shall not be as the hypocrite because you're purged. You're washed. You can draw near in the full assurance of faith. And that's when we draw near, that's how we draw near. Because it's by His grace that we draw near that way. And He says, so don't act like a hypocrite. Don't do things to be seen of men. And so He says here, how that the hypocrite loves to be seen. He loves to pray standing in the synagogue in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily they have their reward. The believer loves to pray. He loves to enter into communion, heart communion with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and speak with His Father and hear and receive peace and comfort from his Father. The believer loves that. The hypocrite just likes to pray. He likes the act of praying. He's a hypocrite because the word means he's an actor. He's playing a part. And he's playing a part just like all actors play a part. That is for folks to see, folks to watch, folks to get to see their show. The hypocrite places much emphasis on posture. They love to pray standing. The hypocrite places much emphasis on place. They love to pray in public places. They love to pray where the most people can see. And this is because, brethren, this inner man that's born of the Spirit, we worship God in spirit and in truth. We really have a spiritual access to our God. But the man that doesn't have that, his religion is really just outward. It is just carnal. And so there's no reward for him to go through these motions if somebody don't see him do it. That's the reward. That's the gratification. That's the thing that is his comfort, is having somebody see him, because there's no heart work done. It's not in the heart, and so there can't be any inward peace brought about by it. It's just a fleshly, natural, feel-good thing. Well, and they do it that they might be seen of men. They may have glory of men. Now, verse 6. The Lord says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Our Lord's teaching us that when we pray, pray to your Father. Pray to your Father. The Lord's not forbidding others to see us pray. We pray here in this place, just like some would pray in the synagogue. But he's forbidding us to make an act of it, to make a show of it, to try to be seen of it. Take heed. Guard against that. Guard against that. And the Lord's not saying that we are to only pray at home in our closet with the door shut. It wouldn't be very comfortable for me. I've got shoes in there and lots of things in my closet, and I just don't want to get in there and shut the door and pray in that closet. But what he's teaching us here, he's using an extreme statement to make the point of how important it is to pray not to be seen of men. You remember back in verse 3, when we were looking at alms, he said, "When thou doest alms," when you give acts of mercy and acts of mercy to the poor, "let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." If you do alms, we saw this, in such secrecy that your left hand doesn't know what your left hand does, that is top secret. And the point is, not only do you not let others see you do it, but don't even dwell on it in your own thoughts. It'll tend to spiritual pride. And that's, if you don't realize that, you don't understand what our Lord's teaching us here, brethren, that's what our flesh is. That's what we still have to contend with in this flesh, is spiritual pride. And our Lord's teaching, he says these things to us, and by his grace, he causes us this to be effectually wrought in us, that he may give us more grace to behold him and not to behold the glorying in the flesh. But he teaches us here to do this in secret. And he says the same kind of extreme statement here to teach us just how careful we are to be that we pray in with a true heart, that we pray not to be seen of men. A long time before I moved up here, I was in a crowded restaurant with a friend. Let me just say this. I'll just give you what I'm going to say. I was in a crowded restaurant with a friend, and there was a lot of folks at the table, and we were elbow to elbow in the restaurant. It was loud. You couldn't hardly hear the folks across the table from you talking. And long about the time everybody sat down and everybody was visiting and kind of greeting each other and what have you. And some got up to go to the restroom and things. And I thanked the Lord for the food that I was about to receive. Food wasn't there. I hadn't even placed my order yet. And I prayed to the Father, and I prayed to Him just as I would have if I would have bowed my head, closed my eyes, and spoke the words audibly. But I prayed to Him from the heart and thanked Him. And one of the men that was there was obviously a religious man. And I say that because in the characteristics that the Lord gives of the Pharisees, this man made sure everybody knew he was religious. Everybody knew it. You didn't have to ask him. And he knew I had preached and knew I was traveling around preaching and what have you. And this fella asked me, would I thank the Lord for the food? And I said, I already have. And he said, well, I didn't see you do it. And I said, well, I wasn't thanking you. I was thanking my Father. And I said, it's between me and my Father. And my Father, which seeth in secret, He heard my prayer. Just as real, if I'd have bowed my head and spoke it audibly, and everybody else around me would have known it. He saw it. And that's what matters. That's what our Lord's teaching us. You know, there's been other occasions. The Lord, for instance, with the 5,000 were there. And I'm just using this, the blessing, thanking the Lord for our food as an example here. But the Lord had 5,000 there, and He broke some loaves and fishes and gave them to them to eat. And He thanked, He was thankful. He prayed. Well, there's been occasions where, at the job I had former, where my manager asked me at meetings, would you pray? Would you pray before? I never had a manager ask me that before in a public workplace. But he asked me everybody in the place is there, and everybody in the place is praying. Everybody in the place is silent. And in that occasion, I'd be happy to pray. If I can lead the congregation assembled in the prayer, sure. But very often when our Lord prayed, most often when our Lord prayed, our Lord went into a secret place. We read He went to a private place. He went to a mountain. Even when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and He took the apostles with Him, He went a stone's throw from them and kneeled down and prayed. It's showing us what our Lord is teaching us here, that, and there was no sin in Him. There was no possibility of Him entering into sin, into the hypocrisy. But our Lord shows us by example how intimate this thing is, what a privilege it is to approach our Father with reverence. You know, if you're in a crowded place and it's so loud and everything's going on, and I mean, it's hard to audibly speak a prayer, and anybody that's sitting around you at the table hear it anyway. But you can always pray. You can always pray. But the key is don't make a show of it. Don't make a show of it. It's a far, far different than being embarrassed to pray. That's not it at all. It's being respectful and having some reverence for our Father and knowing that this is an intimate thing between my Father and myself. So that's what our Lord is teaching us. The point is, take this utmost heed. Now look at verse 6, and this is, I love this. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Now listen to this. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When you approach God by His grace, in the pure, in a true heart, and full assurance of faith. You know what you have? Hebrews 10 said boldness. You know what that word is? Open access. Welcome. Free to enter. Free to come in. That's an open reward. We saw with alms, the reward is that we see, He makes us to see by His grace, see more of Christ who gave to us poor and needy sinners. Makes us to behold in our acts of mercy something of what He did for us. And it's between us and Him, we enter into it. And it's the same here. We are thankful that we have this open, free access to our Father by the blood of Christ. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege we have. What a blessing. All right.